Good morning, Fairhaven Church. It's great to see you. Great to be with you. I want to welcome Classics, as Brent said, with us this morning, as well as Springboro with Jared and Northmont with Doug. It's great to be together, one church in several locations. We're excited about what God's doing this morning. If you have your Bibles or your devices, you could go ahead and grab those and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. That's the verse that we're going to use to sort of get started this morning. But before we do, I mean, just, you know, have you come? Have you reconciled to the idea that summer is over with? I mean, I know for me at least, that's always a sad reflection that the summer's gone. It went way too fast. This a couple weeks ago, I was just reflecting on the summer and thinking about some of the fun things that we did and just sort of rehearsing some memories. And I thought about a little trip that we took out to Phoenix. Kay and I had a chance to take a long weekend and go out to Phoenix. Had never been out there before. And for those of you who have been out there, you know what it's like. I mean, it is dry and it is hot. I mean, it is hot. So one of the things we like to do when we travel is to try to find a place to go for a hike. We've hiked at, Red River Gorge and different state parks and lots of different places. So out in Phoenix, we sort of looked at Google and found a mountain that had some hiking trails on it. And so early in the morning, we decided we'd go for this hike. And it's, you know, it's sunny and it's already probably 80-something degrees out there. So we get to Black Mountain, and maybe the name Black Mountain should have been sort of an indicator of what this experience was going to be a little like. But we got to Black Mountain, and we found the trailhead and the map and everything, and I took a quick look, and okay, here's the color that's going to go around, and it'll be an out and back, and should be about an hour and a half. And so, you know, we're in good spirits. We're going to have some fun and take this hike. So we journey off on the trail, and it's steep, and there's lots of hills, and it's dry and rocky, but it's beautiful. I mean, if you've been out there, there's a unique beauty to the mountains, the desert mountains out there. And so about 30 minutes in, you know, it's feeling good. We're heading, you know, out, and so we're in good spirits. About 30 minutes later, you know, we're still hiking, and I'm expecting we're gonna kind of turn and feel like we're coming back here soon. And after about another 30 minutes, we're coming to the realization that this is not an out and back. I mean, we're lost. We're on a trail, but what trail is it? And where is it taking us? We're tired, and we're thirsty, and it's hot. The sun is hot at that point. And so we have two options, right? I mean, we could keep going and hope that we find someone or something that gives us an indication about how to take the loop and get back. Or we could turn around and retrace our steps and go back the way we came, which would turn this into a 3 or 4 hour hike. So, I mean, I think at that point, if I could have airlifted Kay off of the mountain, she would have paid for that. That's kind of where we were in this experience. But we decided we would retrace our steps. It's the option with the highest possible success, right? And so we turn around, we head back up the mountain until we hear this rattle. And it was a rattlesnake. And there was a rattlesnake right there on the trail. And it was forbidding us to take another step in that direction. And I'm telling you, my poor wife, she started to come unglued. That was both of our first encounter with a rattlesnake. And so we were definitely not going in that direction. So we turned around and we headed off, you know, going the way we had started. And you might know, about a tenth of a mile ahead, we come to an intersection. Our trail intersects with another trail. And there's a sign saying, you know, 64th Street parking lot this way. And so, lo and behold, you know, we head down that trail, and there is a parking lot there. And not only was there a parking lot there was a Starbucks across the street. Hallelujah! And there was an Uber driver in the Starbucks. You know, this hike ended with, you know, an iced coffee and some fun memories. So that was a fun part of our summer. But, you know, thinking about that experience just made me reflect on how easy it is to wander down the wrong path. Evidently, somewhere I took a wrong turn and we were in the wrong place. How easy it is to misread the map or to misunderstand the map, which I obviously had done. and how easy it was to be a long way into a journey and realize this is not taking me where I want to go. So you just think about those kinds of questions in terms of our Christian lives. Our Christian lives are like a long hike, if you will. And if we've placed our faith in Christ as our Savior, then we're on this journey. But we might ask ourselves some of the same questions. Are we on the right path? Do we really understand the map, and are we following it? And is there a possibility that we'll get way down the road of our spiritual lives and discover that we're not where we want to be? And so I want to talk this morning about an essential journey, a very intentional journey, which is the journey of spiritual formation. The journey of spiritual formation. So as you've turned to Proverbs chapter 4, look with me at verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23. It says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. That word in the Greek means to guard your heart, to keep it, to preserve it, to keep it close, to blockade it, actually. And so what it's saying is, you are the watchman of your heart. You are the guard set over your heart. And why is that so important for us? Because from our heart flow the springs of life, flow all of the issues of life. They flow from our heart. Literally, every moment of every day is experienced from the depths of your heart. The course of your life is determined by the condition of your heart. And so, from your heart, you'll either experience the trustworthiness of God as you interact with the events of your life, or you'll scramble and you'll strive to secure for yourself what you think your life should be all about. From the depths of your heart, you'll either experience the rest of God, or you'll be wrapped up in the chaos of life. You see, the course of our life is determined by the condition of our heart, which makes this so important. And so I want to start this morning with a definition of spiritual formation as we walk through this. Spiritual formation is a process whereby our heart is transformed by the Holy Spirit into the likeness of Christ through a relationship of intimacy with God so that we can experience life the way God intended. That's a great definition. I think that in John chapter 10, when Jesus talks about how he came to give us life and to give us an abundant life, that's really what he's describing. A life that flows from a transformed heart. A life that's grounded in intimacy with God. A life that experiences the blessings of God. And it's because God wants to give us that kind of life that he is always engaged in our spiritual formation. God is always engaged. He's always inviting us to draw near to him, to grow in grace and godliness, to be formed in Christ's likeness. We never have to wonder if our longing to be mature Christians is matched by God's. It is. Secondly, your journey will look different than my journey. We're both on this journey of spiritual formation, but yours is going to look different than mine because we're wired differently. We have different personalities. So there's no cookie-cutter way of growing in Christ. We'll all experience it in different ways, but there is the journey, and we're all to be on it. Thirdly, every situation that we experience in the moment of our day or in the course of our life, every situation is an opportunity to be formed by the Spirit of God. It doesn't matter whether we're driving down the road or standing in a long line or whether we're getting bad news or whether we find out our purse was stolen. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter whether it's big or small. Every situation that we face is an opportunity to be formed by God. So I guess I might ask you to think back through the last week of your life. What were the experiences that challenged you? What stands out in your mind as being unique or stretching about your life in the last week? And think about that experience as an opportunity that you had to be formed in Christ as you experienced it, as you responded to it. That's what spiritual formation is all about. So let's dive in a little bit deeper and understand a little bit more about spiritual formation. What is it? Well, see, when somebody asks you, you know, how are you doing in your Christian life? And that's a pretty common question among Christian friends. How's your spiritual life going? What comes to your mind as you hear that question? Well, you might think of church. I've been going to church regularly. It's become a good rhythm and a good routine for me. And so, you know, things are going good. I feel good about my spiritual life. You might think about the Bible. How often I read the Bible. I try to read it every day. I've been pretty good about that. And so I feel good about my spiritual life. Or you might think about prayer, how often we spend time in prayer. All those things might help shape sort of the way you feel about your Christian life in that moment. And those are good things. They're not bad things, but they miss a vital point. They miss the difference between doing and being. Between doing and being. All those things I mentioned are about us doing something instead of us becoming someone on the inside. See, when somebody says, how's it going in your spiritual life? What we should be thinking about is, am I growing in my friendship, the intimacy of my friendship with God? And I think when I say the word friendship, you kind of know what I mean. I mean, if you have a close friend, you love spending time with that friend. You love talking with them and laughing with them and just being transparent with them and experiencing life with them and just being together. Am I growing more intimate in my friendship with God? Am I learning to live moment by moment? Those circumstances I just mentioned. Am I learning to live in those moments, in those circumstances, as if Jesus were living those circumstances with me? Are my routines and practices ordered in such a way that I stay connected to God as I go throughout my day? Let's think about it. Spiritual formation is best seen through the lens of the great commandment. Mark chapter 12, actually, verse 30 and 31 says this. It says that we're to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus says it's the greatest commandment, and that's excellent. The reason that's so good is because it changes the conversation. It reframes the conversation from doing to being, because the greatest commandment, Jesus said, is to be someone who loves God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loves the people around them as they love themselves. See, that flows from the heart. That's about who we're becoming on the inside. And about 15 years ago, my own spiritual journey kind of came to a crossroads around this idea of, what does it really mean to love God? Do I love God? Do I love other people the way God wants me to love them? Am I just really busy doing a lot of Christian stuff? Or am I genuinely becoming someone on the inside that is a Christ follower, a disciple, someone whose inside is formed in a way that I can live out my life the way God wants me to live it out? Am I becoming the person that God wants me to be? Actually, I stumbled upon a book written by Gary Thomas, who was our speaker just last week. Gary Thomas, he wrote a book called Seeking the Face of God. And now the book has been retitled and republished called Thirsting for God. But that book was amazing. It helped me to begin a journey of spiritual formation in my life where I started to wrestle with, what does it look like to really love God? What does it look like to surrender to God, to be God's friend, to trust God, to obey God, to enjoy God? And what does it look like for me to express that kind of life to the people and in the circumstances around me? And that wrestling led me to the conclusion that my credentials, you know, my Bible education or my theology or all my years of experience in the church, all that stuff did not equal intimacy with God. It didn't guarantee that I would experience transformation in my own heart. you know, we talk about transformation a lot, and you might think that, you know, I'm just not into all of that. I don't quite get that. But actually, the truth is, you are into transformation. You just don't know that you are. See, the point is, all human beings, all of us, are being formed in our hearts all the time. We're being formed every day by, for good or for bad, by the sum of all the things that we experience, the things that we make ourselves available to, the influences and behaviors that are part of our lives. I mean, the things that we do, the things that we watch, the things that we hear, the people that we hang with, all of those things, whether we're aware of it or not, are shaping our hearts, either for good or for bad. We're being formed by those things. That's why the writer in Proverbs writes in chapter 13, verse 20, "Become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life go to pieces." See, he knows that we're all being shaped by the experiences that we're having with the people that we're with. Be careful to walk with the wise. And so I have to ask myself, and I want you to ask yourself, what are those experiences that are a part of my life that are shaping me? Are they forming me in Christ-likeness, or are they shaping me in another way, perhaps a negative way? See, here's why spiritual formation is so critical to our Christian lives. The situations that we find ourselves are never as important as our response to those situations, because the responses that we have, those come from our spiritual side. They come from our heart, from our soul that's been formed in some way. Dallas Willard, who's an author that I really enjoy and respect, he says, "A carefully cultivated heart will be able to anticipate, prevent, or transform most of the painful situations we face in life. Situations that most people encounter and just scream, 'Why is this happening to me?'" See, the reality is good things and bad things will happen to us in life. But what our life amounts to, I mean, what really is the course of our life will largely depend on what's happening in our heart, how our heart has been shaped and formed to be able to respond. Even the ordinary things of life can be transformed by our hearts and how they're prepared. You're waking up in the morning. What's that look like for you? Greeting those that you first see in your day, driving to school or to the office, accomplishing your work as you go throughout the day, or in the evening, how you spend your time and how you end your day. I mean, if we're honest, don't many of us just sort of stumble through those ordinary parts of our day? We're just sort of on autopilot most of the time. But what would it look like if even in those ordinary parts of your day, they were infused with the presence of Jesus? That as you wake up, as you drive, as you take care of your small children, as you interact with the people at work, even as you end your day, you're aware of, you're attentive to the presence of Jesus, the presence of the Spirit, the way that the Spirit would move you and speak to you and guide you as you navigate all those intersections of your life. See, I really think that that's the experience that Jesus is talking about in John chapter 17. In verse 3, it says, "This is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you have sent to earth." Kay and I celebrated 36 years of marriage this week, Tuesday actually. And as we were talking, you know, in the evening and just sort of reflecting on our 36 years, that is a long time, and reflecting on our years together, you know, it just dawned on me that I know Kay, she knows me in the deepest and best possible way. I mean, every day my life is oriented toward Kay. I want to know her. I want to love her in an understanding way. I know her better than anybody else in my life, and yet I want to know her more. See, spiritual formation is all about that process of getting to know Jesus in the deepest and best possible way. See, it's less about doing and it's more about being. It's less about what you do and more about who you know. It's what's happening to you on the inside as you live out this intimacy with God. And that's where I found myself, as I said, some years ago. I didn't need to attend still one more Bible study, even though Bible studies are awesome and they're good. What I really wanted to measure my life by was, how well do I know a person? How well do I know Jesus? So you might ask the question, where do we start? I mean, that's the life I want. Where do I begin? Well, spiritual formation is focused on Jesus. We start with Jesus. We fix our eyes on Jesus, as the writer of Hebrews said. We cultivate our relationship with Him by spending time with Him. We open up our heart to Him. We talk to Jesus about what's really going on in our lives. When is the last time you had an absolutely transparent conversation with Jesus about what's really happening in your heart? Not just the things that you think should be happening in your heart or that you wish were happening in your heart, but what's really there, and you're talking to Him about it. Fostering a moment-by-moment awareness of Jesus. I've gotten into the habit of carrying a little cross in my pocket. I carry it with me every day. And every time my hand goes in my pocket and I feel that cross, it's just a sense of Emmanuel. God is with me. And it brings me back to that awareness of my relationship with God. John 15:4 says, "Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you." That is an amazing invitation. And it draws us to accept that invitation to allow Jesus to be our good teacher. You see, spiritual formation is anchored in the goodness of Jesus. It's anchored in the goodness of Jesus. That's what draws us to Him. That's what allows us to open up our heart and our life to be taught by Him. The fact that God is completely good. He's not unreliable. He's not detached. He's not angry or spiteful. That God is trustworthy, that He's our Abba, our dear Father. He's our sovereign. The fact that God is generous. We don't have to earn God's favor. He lavishly gives it to us, as Paul said in the book of Ephesians. That God is love. He's always love. Not if or when we perform well or make the right choices. His love is never in doubt. That God is self-sacrificing, that the very cross proves that His love for us will never change, that He is always for us, and that God transforms, that we don't have to be stuck in a rut and say, "I just can't change, I'll always be this way." God, in His goodness, He transforms us, He invites us to that. See, it's that goodness that calls us in to this process of spiritual formation. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, spiritual formation begins with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Secondly, spiritual formation is powered by grace. By the grace of God. See, what God wants to do in our hearts is a gift of grace. You can't earn it. You can't demand it or force it. It's the gentle, gracious hand of God that works to form our hearts over time. And God's never in a hurry. So the journey that we're on, we're going to be on for the rest of our lives. But it's a good journey. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." So think about grace this way. Grace is an invitation to be at home with the Father, to do life with God. I just love the way that lingers in your mind. Grace is about being at home with the Father. Man, that's such a warm place to be. In the parable of the lost son, you remember the dad, the father says to his second son, he says, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. Repeatedly through the New Testament, we're reminded that all that God has, he has given to us. Everything that I have is yours. And so spiritual formation is rooted in Jesus. It's powered by the gracious gift of God. But thirdly, it's driven by you. It's driven by you. Perhaps I can explain it in an analogy. Imagine that as a small boy or a small girl, you dreamed of growing up and becoming a master pianist, renowned, accomplished. Where would you begin in that quest? Well, first you'd find somebody, a tutor or a teacher, who could show you the way. And you'd start by simple things, you know, learning things like the scales and practicing them over and over every day. And you'd meet with your teacher over and over. You'd practice each new skill as you went along. And over the course of the years, you'd be transformed into someone who is like your teacher. That is, somebody who can play the piano beautifully, which was your goal all along. But you didn't get there by simply saying, I want to play the piano. Or by praying, God, make me a piano player. Nor did you get there by trying really hard to be a piano player. Rather than wishing or trying, you trained. You trained to become an accomplished piano player. You understood that there's a way to become a piano player, and you followed that path to become what you wanted to be. So let's bring that analogy into the spiritual life. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. See, if I'm really honest with you, for years I wished a lot of things. God, I want to be kinder. God, I want to be more gentle. I want to be less angry. And I prayed that God would make me more humble, more loving, more gracious. But I was mostly disappointed in that. See, Dallas Willard again writes, it's magical thinking for us to merely hope that we will be able to act like Jesus in the heat of the moment simply by force of will or by trying hard. Instead, training our hearts to be more like Jesus, we simply wish that we were, and then we're disappointed when it doesn't turn out that we're the person that we wish we were. See, what I discovered are, there are things that we can do that can greatly help us, that can train and form our hearts so that we can become the person that we want to be, the person God wants us to be. So you probably heard the term, but people call these things spiritual disciplines or holy habits. No matter what we call them, the goal of these things, these spiritual disciplines in our lives, is to make us more like Jesus. Three of those disciplines we talk about all the time. We call them our essentials: worship, serving, and community. And I kind of look at those essentials as three legs of a stool, three legs that prop up and give strength to our spiritual lives, the essentials. But there are also spiritual formation classes and studies and seminars that we can be involved in. They happen on all of our campus. Here we call them spiritual workshops, classes, and many of you are involved in those as they launched just this week. But then there are all kinds of other things that we can do that can shape our hearts, that can form us in godliness, spiritual disciplines. And it can get really fun and interesting. It's one of the wonderful parts of my life today, the spiritual disciplines and how to practice these trainings in godliness. For centuries, people that have followed Christ have practiced spiritual disciplines. I came across a book a couple of years ago that I really enjoyed. It's kind of a primer on this topic of spiritual disciplines. It's written by a guy named Nathan Foster, and you might recognize the last name. He's the son of Richard Foster, who wrote Celebration of the Disciplines. But it's called The Making of an Ordinary Saint: My Journey from Frustration to Joy with the Spiritual Disciplines. It's a primer to help you get started in practicing spiritual disciplines and shaping and forming your heart in godliness. A spiritual discipline helps us to learn to do what we cannot naturally do by direct effort, like loving our enemies, or rejoicing in hardship, or refraining from gossip, or controlling our anger, or expressing kindness, or letting go of the need to be right, or the need to be appreciated, or refusing to covet, or resisting the lust of the eyes. Those are things that we all struggle with. How do we train ourselves against those so that the natural response of our heart is godliness, to do the thing that God wants us to do? Well, I've mentioned before, I used to live in Chicago. And man, it was fun to live in Chicago during the glory days of the Chicago Bulls. And I'll never forget, in 1993, one of the NBA final games, John Paxson had the final shot and won the game. And they interviewed him, and here's what he said. He says, "I just caught the ball and shot it as I have my whole life. I've been playing basketball since I was 8 years old, and I've shot that shot in my driveway hundreds of thousands of times. It was just reaction." You see, training our hearts in godliness allows us to react to our circumstances instinctively in the way God wants us to. And so I'm not naive in speaking to, you know, the numbers of people that I'm speaking to this morning, that maybe this isn't resonating with all of us. But I hope that it's resonating with some of us. Maybe it's bringing some clarity to the void that you've been feeling, that you've got a lot of stuff up here in your head, but you don't necessarily feel it in your heart. Or maybe it's helping you to see that, you know a lot about Jesus, but you don't feel like you really know Jesus. And if that's you, as I said, you're not alone. There are many of us on that journey. So where do we go? Well, we stay with the essentials. We build into our lives the building blocks of worship and community and serving. And then we get involved in classes and opportunities that in the interaction of Scripture and with people, we can shape and form our hearts in ways that allow us to be godly in responding to the life around us. Or we begin to practice simple spiritual disciplines in our lives. If that's you, if this is something that you just feel drawn to, I mean, I'd love to hear from you. Jared and Doug at the campuses would love to hear from you. We'd love to walk alongside you. We are shepherds, and we'd love to shepherd you in this journey of spiritual formation. Shoot us an email and let us know how we can help you, how we can put some information in your hands that can encourage you in this journey. So I think here's the way I'd like to close this morning. I just wrote this little simple prayer, and I just want to pray it over you. And I want to let you embrace it. Let it wash over you and be your prayer as we think about closing the service. And after the prayer, let's just enjoy a couple of minutes of silence. As we've been doing every week of the year, you know, how will God speak to you? How does God want to speak to your heart through what we've been talking about this morning? What is he calling to you? What would he say to you about your journey? Are you on the right path? Have you read the map correctly? Are you going to get way down the road and realize you're not where you want to be? And so let me pray this prayer over you. And let's go to a couple of minutes of silence. And let's see how God would speak to us. Father, we long for our hearts to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, into the likeness of Jesus Christ, through a relationship of intimacy with you, so that we can experience life the way you intended. Let's go to silence. Father, we thank you for your gracious invitation to be on this essential journey of spiritual formation. I pray for myself and for all of my friends that you would draw us to yourself, draw us to your goodness, draw us through your grace, draw us to the opportunities to form and shape our heart in godliness. We desire to be the people that you've called us to be and that you've provided for us to be. And so thank you for your immeasurable love through Jesus Christ. Amen.